Karibuni Rafiki, welcome to the Mambo Jungle podcast with me, Sonia and
Chance.
And how has your week been so far?
We're in the middle of the week.
Not.
Okay, we're like
the end of the week.
Yeah. I had a very good week. Mm-hmm. It was my birthday. I'm very happy. I'm very happy and I'm very glad. I had a very good celebration surrounded with friends and loved ones.
That's good.
And how was your week?
Just tired, the usual work.
And I'm exhausted?
Yeah, I feel tired.
Yeah.
I'm exhausted.
You've been doing physio?
Yeah.
After the accident, did you?
Yeah. I feel better now, but like, I did physio, right? Like, I went and then, like, put the hot pack in my back and, like, the massaging thing and stuff, and then you lay down and stuff. But then, like, I felt better, like, going home afterwards. But the next day when I woke up, I felt more pain. Just like,
what is the essence?
Hopefully, it gets better over time. But
and well, as you can see, we switched places today.
I feel like we're getting used to.
Yeah, we're like, we gotta switch it up a little bit.
Yeah.
So we have a question of the day, and. Our question of the day, it's
no. What is the topic of today? Oh yeah, other question.
Question of the day first.
I'm tired.
I know.
Excuse me.
It's okay. That's all.
Okay.
What is one thing you could change if you had an opportunity to go back in time? Did that hit the nail?
I don't think I would change anything.
Okay.
Because like, if I change something, then my life would be different comparing to what it is now. Right. So, like, I've learned to just appreciate my life the way it is.
Yeah.
And not wish to be in other people. Like, thinking about the grass is green on the other side when it's sometimes it's not. So, that's how I usually think about stuff. I'm just like, no, I'm happy. I'm here for a reason. I'm here for a purpose. So, that's how I look at it. So, what about you?
I don't think I can change it because whatever I want, it's even impossible to change.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish I could be tall.
Don't you tell you how short she is.
So I'm like very short.
Short is like 5 foot. One.
I'm 5 foot, not even one.
You're 5 foot one.
Yeah,
you're
no,
taller
I'm five
than you by an inch.
Relax, you're not that tall.
This is why I say I'm taller than you by an inch. I'm 5'2", so you're 5'1".
I took that personal.
I gave you even a boost. I gave you a boost.
What do you mean you gave me a boost?
You said you're 5 foot, and I said you're 5'1". So I gave you a boost. Never mind, she's been 5 foot.
Oh my god, I'm shocked.
Maybe I mentioned. Kikuri.
Oh, I forgot what I'm going to do. I just almost. Okay, so our topic of today.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. It's amazing. It's intriguing.
Ooh, it's.
Drum rolls, please.
Madame, just announce. I beg.
How can I introduce a topic when you are like this? Like, what's going on?
They're tired of hearing me. Just talk to the topic.
They can never get tired of hearing me.
They want to
our topic of the day.
Uh huh.
Our sisters, our friends, our topic of the day is being the eldest daughter.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that? Are you the eldest daughter?
You just beat me to it. Almost I am the eldest daughter. We have 7 kids.
What are you? What is the secret?
And I'm the eldest.
Yeah, that's. I'm not the eldest, but I'm like the second oldest. But then also the first girl. So
it changes things.
Yeah, so it's like different. If I was a boy, like it would be different. But I'm not so. Being the eldest daughter. Just being the eldest daughter is.
So, first question. What is one good or bad memory you hold on to as an eldest daughter?
I'll say, like, I'll start off with the bad and then end with the positive.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So, like, the bad is just, like, I have so much, like, responsibility. Like looking after like the younger ones or like they're following into my footsteps, so like every move that I make like regarding like education and stuff, they're like, oh, Sonia finished school, so like you need to do the same thing, right? You set an example, like you're like you're like the blueprint for all of them to follow suit,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And also like your decisions, like, and your actions can in like obviously affect them, right?
Yeah.
So like that's, it really doesn't, it wouldn't really affect them, but like your parents look at it like, if you do anything bad, you're gonna affect them, you're gonna lead them in the wrong path. So like you always have to constantly be like, not just looking out for yourself, but also looking out for your siblings, right? And also the good, like, well, like, I love my little sister Samira and Salma. And Shannon, I just say I love them too, and my other siblings. But like those two, they're like, cause I feel like they're the youngest, right? So they're like more like baby and stuff. They're so like appreciative of stuff. So whenever I come like back from work or anything, they're like swinging, they're hugging me, kissing, they're like miss me and stuff, right? So I feel like them, like their affection for me. And then like, even if I'm like not at the house, they will always look for me. They're like, where's Sonia? Where is she? So like, always people who are like
mm-hmm.
looking for you and stuff, right?
And looking forward to you coming.
Yeah,
home.
Looking forward. Even like sometimes,
yeah.
like even I work with kids and stuff, right? When we make little arts and craft, whenever like I bring it for them, they're so excited. They're like, oh, I want it. Yeah, they hang it up like, because I love like painting and stuff. So like, whenever I make little paintings and stuff, they're like, we want it. And then they take it, they put it in their room. They're always so excited, right? That's one thing I was saying about like Shannon Aziz. Like I enjoy, like, the bond that we have, right?
Because
like I feel like with them, that's when like I did the most of like taking
parenting.
Care of like parenting as well,
mm-hmm.
right? So like they kind of like my little children. So
yeah, like come here.
Yeah, so that's how.
Okay, that's good. That's
what
beautiful.
About you?
I am.
You good?
I'm the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I've started the bad. I didn't enjoy my childhood.
Mm.
I didn't enjoy I didn't know what it means to be a child.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I didn't learn how to play with dolls.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't learn how to play with, maybe like young, but by the time
yeah.
I hit 13, 12 years old,
yeah.
I felt like I started taking
more responsibility
and
yeah.
I needed to start being there more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I missed out a lot.
Mm.
Like I didn't have a social life.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I had a social life, it was restricted.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bad one.
Mm-hmm.
The good one, I enjoyed every moment of being there for my siblings.
Yeah, you get like to watch them grow and stuff.
Yeah.
So.
I feel like, because if you could ask me anything that they did in their childhood, I would tell you.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think I love that.
Yeah.
I love the fact that I'm in their memories
mm-hmm.
and that I can tell when this memory was made.
Yeah, that's so true.
Because like when they are, some of them, they were born and I was like, change their diapers,
yeah.
dress them. I'm like, don't talk to me like that. I changed your diaper. I'm like, listen, I might be 5 foot tall, you might be 6 feet.
Oh my god, did I tell you? Azizi is taller than me.
Yeah,
and
this is one thing that I love about it. It's the fact that I can look back
mm-hmm.
and be like, I was there for you. And I see that they appreciate that
yeah,
so much
yeah.
and they embrace that.
Yeah.
I felt like that drifted apart when I moved out.
Yeah.
Because then we didn't connect much. You know, in episode 1, we talked about all these things.
Yeah.
But that is my good memory. It's the fact that I was there and I watched some of them grow, and I'm still
mm-hmm.
watching some of them grow.
Yes.
And I tell them, do not look up to me, because
mm-hmm.
then my values and your values, my beliefs and your beliefs are very different.
Yeah.
However, you can always run things by me and I can tell you my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of the day, it's your responsibility to make that decision. Just because I'm the eldest doesn't mean that I know everything.
That's true.
I might have gone through some of the things.
Yeah.
And they might have shaped me different to other with how they're going to shape you.
Yeah.
So it's been like being a mom, you know, there are good days and bad days. There are things that you miss the most and things that you don't miss. So I loved that. I loved being there. Yeah. That was emotional.
It was really.
It's just, it brought so much memories as I was talking about this. And oh my god, so our second question, describe what it felt like being a mother in quotes as an eldest daughter.
I feel like you tend to take on like the responsibility, like the household, being the housekeeper and being the house girl and the nanny as well. So your movement is like restricted because like sometimes your friends are all playing outside, but then you can't go outside because like you have to take care of your little siblings, right? And for me though, because I had an older brother, right, and he used to do the same for me when I was younger, my little sister, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when what is this, when he got older and like I moved out and stuff and I'm still at home too, right, they're like, well, now it's your turn to do the same thing, right? So I can't complain when my older brother used to do the same for me, right?
Mm.
So that's how I looked at it as well. And also, like, I feel like it's just, like, part of African culture. They just expect you, especially if you're the girl, like, to take on that, like, being a mother and taking that, like, it's as if they're preparing you for marriage and this is what you're going to be doing when you get to your
house. At 13 years old.
Yeah, at 13, they should know. By 10 years old, like 10 and 8
I started
and,
cooking
and
when I was like 8 years
8
old.
And, yeah, that's when I started cooking. I know how to cook a full meal.
I started cooking, maybe that's why I'm short. You know those big
short.
But
I knew by that age, I already knew how to cook. Like, I knew how to take care of the household. I knew how to clean. And then when I think about it, when I look back, it's just like, they don't realize that they're like actually preparing me to be a wife. Which is like, at that age, that's not what you should be doing. Like, you should also like give your children freedom to also go and express themselves. Let them make mistakes and let them learn, right? But you also have to limit that extent, right? You can't give your children too much freedom, right? And also like too much being protective, like thinking, oh, they might do this, they might do that, right? How am I supposed to learn as a young adult?
Yeah.
If I don't get to make those mistakes, right?
Mm-hmm.
For myself and see.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like as you just become a mother, you take on like the chores just because like you have younger siblings. And for me, my siblings are like 10 years apart. So like my
That's
mom, so like I did have like years to be like all by myself, because like my sister, the one after me, we are only like, what, 2 years apart. So I had time also to like kind of like play, like not look after someone like for quite a while. But then when I was like in my teens, when I was like, oh, I want to be doing this, I want to be doing that. But then at the same time, that also helped me not, I would have been rebellious if I didn't have that, right?
Because
like it made me like me be more
grounded. You have a sense of responsibility.
Yeah, take on responsibility and like being able to be like trustworthy and just being able like to communicate, oh, this is what is happening at the house, this isn't this and that.
Yeah.
And then like when you, especially when you apply for like jobs at that age, like at 15, right? I had a job by then, so like I knew like what to expect, like this needs to be done, because like I'm so used to being in a schedule, right? So that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. For me personally, it made me scared of failure.
Yeah, I felt that too.
Because I felt like I'm being watched,
mm-hmm.
and I felt like everyone is looking up to me.
Mm-hmm.
And if I take one wrong step,
mm-hmm.
I feel like I've influenced the ones behind me,
mm-hmm.
positively or negatively.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point in life, I was like, F it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't enjoy my childhood the most.
Yeah.
I became a mom. Not like had a baby, like I became a mom to my siblings,
mm-hmm.
at a very young age. And I missed out on a lot of things that I wish I could have taken time to.
And
I don't know how to ride a bike. And I'm never ashamed to say that.
And then when it makes me laugh, every time you say that,
I know.
Like, I should teach you.
I don't know how to ride a bike.
Yeah.
When will I ever get time to go outside and ride a bike?
That's true.
When I saw my friends interacting with, I was even restricted to interacting with other, with like male.
Yeah, yeah, same here.
Male species.
Species?
I don't know how to say it. I was just like young men.
Yeah.
Like outside, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of like gave me the idea of, I can't mess this up.
Mm-hmm.
I have a sister, I have brothers that are looking up to me.
Mm-hmm.
It gave me, I felt like I was carrying a load on my shoulder for so long,
mm-hmm.
that it gave me trauma,
mm-hmm.
whereby whenever I fail,
mm-hmm.
I didn't even know. Do you know that at some point I couldn't even cry, like, in front of my siblings. But I remember one thing happened in the house. I remember, and this will always be a memory, because I still have that mark in my back. So I remember I was coming from church one day.
Yeah.
And I think I've told you this. And there was this guy in the community. He was such a nice friend. Like,
yeah,
we vibed because, like, you know, back home, this I'm a Christian, so we used to have like church events or you meet in other churches and just talk. And that's how I met him.
Yeah.
And he was such a nice dude. I was in primary. He was like in high school, so I'm like, I don't even see him like that. I see him just like one of the people in the community that I hang out with.
Yeah.
And one day, coming from church, we were on the road. And we were talking. He was like, how are you? How's school? We were on a break from school. And one of the family, one of my relatives saw me and ran to my mom.
Mm-hmm.
I think she even called her. She was like, do you know your daughter was standing on the road with this guy? So I go home.
Yeah.
And it was on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Really free.
And they flogged me so hard, and I didn't know how to handle that. I was so mad. I'm not mad because you flogged me.
Mm.
I'm just mad that you couldn't believe me.
Mm.
And when I cried in front of my siblings, I felt weak.
Mm.
I felt like that respect they had for me is gone. And it took me a long time to say that it's okay to have times where I can break out and cry.
Yeah.
Because even crying is healthy.
It is healthy.
But with that, it stopped my interaction with the people. I'm a very friendly person. And I felt like because my parents were like, you are now grown, it's time for you to take responsibility. They didn't take time to learn me.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
They didn't take to learn chances like this. She likes this. She doesn't like this. This is the kind of person she is.
Yeah.
It's you have to do this. This is who you are. This is what you need to be doing. And this is the responsibility you have on your shoulder. There was no time for me.
Mm.
There was always time for other people.
Yeah.
And they didn't take time to learn who I am. And I understand because our parents were so busy providing for us. But in between providing for us and being, they forgot that they're supposed to be there.
They're
supposed to be parents instead of us being parents. I can help, but it doesn't mean that I have to take the load by myself.
Yeah.
Like, I can babysit,
yeah,
but it doesn't mean that you are allowed to go the whole day, come whenever time you want, and then I have to cancel my plans.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
I can be at home,
mm-hmm,
but it doesn't mean that I cannot be in my room without me being bothered. Oh, you're lazy.
I know, right? After
you can't do this.
They can't let you rest. Whenever you rest, like you decide, like, you're working, you're tired, you just want to rest on a Sunday. No, you cannot rest. You're lazy. That's all you know how to do. Lazy.
And
they just be insulting you, like you're
yes,
lazy. But then you're exhausted. Like, they don't realize that you also have a job now. Like, you're doing stuff outside of the house, right? And
I understood that.
Yeah.
But at some point in life,
mm-hmm,
I started learning how to put myself first. And it was a relief that I started putting myself first. But before all that, there was so much that happened that I felt like I couldn't fail because I am this person's role model. I have this, if I fail, this is going to influence these people like this, like this, like that. Right?
Yeah.
But I loved it. Again, I loved being there. I loved listening. I just didn't like being a mom at that age.
Yeah. I feel like the one thing I don't like about being the eldest, especially like I hear it too, like sometimes like how you're talking about, like you tend to also like take on the parent role and then you have to like parent your siblings. And especially like as your parents get older and they still have younger kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
They expect you to be take on that lead of like parenting them and disciplining them. Like, I don't want to be doing that. That's not my job. Like, I'm not their mother. I'm not their father, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then like last time too, like I heard like, oh, don't do that. Like in Swahili terms, just like, okay, fine. Like, fine. With them, I'm gonna be a Sonia. Like, I'm gonna tell Sonia like you did this and that, right? Like putting the fear, like as if they should fear me because I'm their parents. I don't like that. I'm like, if you are disciplining your kid, discipline them by yourself. Like, don't involve my name in there and saying like, oh, wait, when I tell Sonia, Sonia's gonna like put you on timeout and stuff. Like, I don't want them to be looking at me like, oh, Sonya's the bad guy. Mm-hmm. She's coming here. She's like the enforcer. She's gonna be, cause like that should not be my
like
role.
We're scared.
Yeah, we're scared of Sonya. Like, cause like they know like when I'm serious. Like with my siblings, I have a balance with them. They know like when I'm serious and when I'm not, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cause they know like they know themselves. Like they know what is expected of them, right? So I don't need to be telling them. And also like you as a parent, right? It's your responsibility to take care of your kids. Even though like I'm there, like I'm the oldest one, but like it should not be my responsibility for you to be leaving your kids on me, thinking I'm gonna be disciplining them, because they're not my kids, they're not my responsibility. I don't have kids yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like let me like enjoy myself. They're my siblings,
mm-hmm.
you know. They're not my children.
Mm-hmm. Let them see me.
Yeah, let
as
me
a sibling,
see me,
not
as a
mom.
Parent, like as a mom too,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So like, and I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing I don't like for sure.
How has been the eldest daughter shaped you? And would you change it if you're able to?
I don't think I would. But like, what it has shaped me is just like having compassion, like being patient, being able to like tolerate so much. I feel like as the older siblings, like you also like, you're an advisor too. Like you, especially my siblings, they always like come and tell me like whenever they need. Like if they don't want to tell my mom or my dad, they'll come and tell me. They'll be like, oh, so you can help me with this. And I'm able to like, give them advice or to go on about it, or if they need something, like they know they can always count on me, right? And like for my siblings, I go above and beyond. Like if you're like my family member, that's just the type of person I'll give you so much. And then that's the point where like I don't know when to, when I care so much to the point where I don't know when to take a step back and let you handle it for yourself. That's what I'm still learning to, like sometimes it's okay for you to like step back and just let them be, you know. You, I can't be there like guiding them every single time. That's,
mm-hmm.
I think I'm just learning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I moved out.
No shit.
I said that. That was like words. I moved out, and
what was that like the mental?
I think I lost. I lost so much love,
mm-hmm.
that was there. I just felt like I lost a very big connection,
mm-hmm.
with my siblings. Especially the young ones.
Yeah, because I've seen you with her.
Yeah, every time I
yeah.
take him, they're like,
yeah.
oh my god, that's your child. I'm like,
yeah.
This is not my child. But he's my baby. I call him
yeah.
my baby.
Because
mm-hmm. he, and I don't say this lightly, he's my heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if anything happened, I'll go with it.
Mm.
God forbid. But because I love them so much.
Yeah.
And my love has no boundaries. And when you love someone,
mm-hmm.
you tend not to hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
But then so much happens,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, I need to put myself first.
Yeah.
I need to put my mental health first. I need to take time and learn who I am, love who I am, and find myself. Because I felt like I forgot who I was,
mm-hmm.
playing the mother role to my siblings. I forgot my identity.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot to learn what I personally love, not what other people love.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot to put myself first instead of putting other people first.
Mm. I feel you when you say
there's so much trauma behind me that I'm still healing from.
Yeah.
I felt like being there for my siblings was going to build that trust between my parents and I.
Mm-hmm.
And there are certain events that happened and you're like, wait, how did you even get here?
Mm-hmm.
Where is the trust and the love, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you can trust me to be like, to behave like a parent and take responsibility, what makes you not to trust me as a daughter?
Yes.
And what makes you think that I can't do a good job at being your daughter?
Mm.
And for me it's very different because I've lived alone.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned that it's okay if people are not there for you.
Yeah.
But this is the thing. There's so much trauma that we think we've healed from,
mm-hmm.
that we've not yet healed. I was accepted into the University of Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
I remember this, and I brought this news to my parent, to my dad. I was like, I am moving to Calgary. I've been accepted.
Yeah.
And I was in the Bachelor of Social Work.
Mm-hmm. What was his reaction to that?
I remember my dad saying, "You're not moving." I never even replied to that acceptance letter. And you know, they give you 1 month or 2 weeks,
yeah.
to reply, and if you don't, then the spot is given,
yeah.
to someone else. I understand where my dad was coming from. He's coming from a place where a parent is scared.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this little bird that is used to be in this nest, and then suddenly it wants to fly away and explore what is out there.
Mm-hmm.
But the part, like, it's the mother's wings are used to being around it.
Mm-hmm.
But then this little bird wants to break out of that nest,
mm-hmm.
and explore. And I'm that little bird.
Do you think it was just him being protective, or him just being like, it's my rule or the highway? Because I find it's mostly like African parents. Most of the times when you want to sometimes take the ownership of doing what you want, what like you tend is the best decision for you. Most of the time they're just like, you're met with closed doors. Like, no, I don't feel like, or they'll be like, or they try to guilt trip you into doing.
I think it was like you. Coming from both.
Mm.
But at the same time, he said, "Where are you going to study there that other universities are not offering here?" So with that, I was like, I want to go there.
Mm-hmm.
I've wanted to go to university, to a place where there's no one. It's just
like
me,
you can start, yeah,
and
that's
exploring,
what I mean, yeah.
myself, right?
Yeah.
But that didn't happen. That was not possible.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, mm-hmm. it took a while to forgive my dad on that.
Mm-hmm.
He just has never known that I held a very big grudge for him on that. I lost
mm-hmm.
something that I've been yearning, something that I worked so hard to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
One thing is that what you go through,
mm-hmm.
it either breaks you,
mm-hmm.
and it's your responsibility to put yourself together.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can be broken and decide to stay there. What I did was not out of selfish. It was not out of ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
It was for me.
Yeah.
The minute you stay, because sometimes we say, oh, the house, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do this. Even if I have my own room, there's no space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have your own room, there's no space. You feel like you are still restricted,
yeah,
to how much, like you're so suffocated,
mm-hmm.
because you're under the same roof with this, with your family. But the thing is that you are not taking time for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine being in college.
Mm-hmm.
Waking up at 5 a.m. to make lunch for your dad. I loved doing those little things, but it just wore me off.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, I felt like I was taking way too much. Having a job, practicum,
mm-hmm.
and I was always so exhausted. I was grumpy.
Mm-hmm.
I was so mad all the time. I feel like when I started my practicum, I remember the last time I smiled at people. I was smiled because it's professional. It's like, hi, thank you. You're just forced to smile. But like that genuine laugh and smile,
yeah.
it's not there. And this days where I looked forward to not going home. I will not lie.
I like my house.
Like if college is done, I wouldn't. Because like I feel like, okay, I'm going home. I love being around my family. But when I say it's time for me to be in my room, where are you?
Yeah, you said, why you never come out anymore?
You're always in your room. I'm like, I've just been here for 5 minutes. How am I always not in here? How am I always in my room? So it's a blessing in disguise. And at the same time,
mm-hmm.
I chose to pick myself up. When I moved out,
mm-hmm.
the first week was the most horrible week I've ever had. I couldn't sleep. Because in my house, you're used to hearing someone moving, opening the door, someone doing something. In the middle of the night, you will hear, can I come sleep? Okay, you know? So the first week, I felt relieved, but I was like, I couldn't sleep. I remember I would sleep around 3 a.m., wake up at 6. Like, I had insomnia because I was so used to being surrounded by the people that I loved.
Mm-hmm.
But it's how far can you go with sacrifices that you also forget yourself? I was so broken emotionally. I was broken spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know who I was.
Yeah.
At some point, I felt like even if my parents were to say, you marry this man, I would say yes. I wouldn't say no. That's where I was, because I loved my parents so much. I loved my family so much.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, this love has to have boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
This love has to be like, I love you, but I need my space. I can be 2 hours away from you, but I still love you dearly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I felt. And the day after 6 months of me moving out, you know what I went through. I exhaled and I said, freedom. And not freedom in a bad way.
Yeah.
It's just, you can come home where there's no one disturbing you, sleep on the couch. You can come home, sometimes I don't even want to clean.
Mm.
Sometimes I'll be like, I'll buy fast food because I don't want to go home and cook.
Mm.
I want to leave. I want to put my toilet seat down all the time. I want to wash my shower the way I want to go into my, you know, I want to stay in my bed. On the days that I'm off from work, I want to stay in my bed for as long as I like.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do not want people to be like, drive me here. I was wondering if you could do this. People are coming from school at this time, so you have to start cooking. It was too much. But I learned that you can love people from afar. You can be there for people from afar. But what you can't do is that if you deny yourself time to get to know yourself,
mm-hmm.
you will never get that time back. I needed to learn who I was,
mm-hmm.
and it was not an easy task.
Mm-hmm.
Even the day that I said that I moved out, I remember my parents did not talk to me the whole of that week. I felt like a stranger, and I knew where they were coming from. Their little bird was flying out of this nest.
Most like African parents have a hard time, even like as you're an adult, have a hard time of letting you make your own decision, as well as like respecting your decision and also like your boundaries as well, right?
Yeah.
Because like they expect so much that like, you should be doing this just for the, because I'm your parents, you must do what I say you must do, you know? But it doesn't work like that. Like think about yourself. You were in a position at one point. Put yourself in our shoes and see how it feels. You would want the same, like you wouldn't want someone treating you the way you're treating me. You know, just because I'm your child doesn't really make me your property. And that's why like some parents,
and you don't own me.
You don't own me.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is just like, and when you become an adult, you wanna like start doing things for your own, for yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't wanna feel like the guilt tripping you every little single move you're making,
mm-hmm.
or they're like, you can't do this because of this and that.
She cannot leave the house at 9 and come back at 6.
I'm just like, okay. But then I feel like with my parents, I had a healthy balance, because like once they knew, like especially when I went to like, what is this, university and college, right? They knew like, oh, Sonia's busy. Sonia has her workload is like a lot more, right? So my mom would actually, she was actually more lenient on me. Like she knew, like she actually saw me. She saw firsthand, especially that time, well, like in the pandemic. So like you're there, she's seeing you not sleep, like freaking writing assignments, like 20 page essays and stuff. So she's watching you. And then the thing is, when like I'm stressed out, like I don't eat, like so I forget to eat, right? So then my mom would like, one of my little siblings would bring me food in my room, because like I would just stay up in the computer typing, like trying to get my assignments in order and stuff. And then at that point, like I feel like, especially when you're in school, is the most stressful time in your life, because like everything is just like riding on you. You're like, you have to do well in every course that you take, right?
Yeah, because then you need to graduate.
You need to graduate, and then like you waste, it's money down the drain if you don't
mm-hmm.
pass. And then I feel like my mom saw that, so she was like, okay, yeah, Sonia's tired. Sonia's working, and Sonia's going to school full time and stuff. So like, let's be lenient on her. So my parents did let me like do whatever I wanted at that point. Like it's just like, Sonia's tired. This is what Sonia's going through. So they understood.
Congratulations.
I know, like, some households, like, it's not the same.
It was hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, some. Listen, eldest daughters, I hail you. No, I honestly hail all the first daughters of all households. You guys are like five men in one. No offense. Because, like, I have seen women and ladies who are first daughters, and the things they are doing, you're like, oh my God, this person.
Yeah.
It's like they take so much responsibility. And I remember I had a friend in high school. They moved here from Iraq. And she was exhausted. Like, we would stay late in school just to finish all the assignments, so that when she goes home, she's a mom, first of all. She's not like a mom with her own kids. She's a mom to her own siblings. She's like, oh, I have siblings who are in junior high. I have siblings who are in kindergarten. I have, and you know, and she was always so stressed. She'd be like, oh, I need to start thinking of what I'm going to make for dinner tonight, for the, because then she lost her mom.
Oh, so it's different.
And that was so hard. And I saw her balance all that. And let me tell you, this girl, I keep in touch with her most of the time, some of the time. She's doing so good.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, one day I said, I hate you. Oh, I said, I hate you. There's no way. There's people out there that will never do what she's doing.
You know.
And she never felt like it was a burden. It was a responsibility. But now they're all grown.
Yeah.
She moved out. She said, you know what?
Yeah.
It's time for me.
Yeah,
I feel like I've been, it's like what, 7-10 years I've been there. It's time now I take time out for myself. Because she lost who she was. She didn't have time for herself.
Yeah.
Whenever she would work, it's about the kids, what they need. Like, the dad is there, but the dad knows so little that even he's like, what do you think we should do? Right? And she said, I felt, at some point, I felt suffocated. And the day I said, I'm going to move out and I can support you guys while I'm out there. At this moment, me personally, I'm going to say, I am glad that I'm able to pay my little bills with what I'm earning.
Yeah.
And I'm happy that I am doing all this. I look at myself sometimes. I know that some days are very hard for me.
Yeah.
Because, and I will never go to my parents and be like, I need financial assistance.
Yeah.
Because I know they'll be like, we didn't ask you to move out.
Yeah. That's for your decision. That's
so I, at some point, there's days where I break down. Because I'm just like, who sent me? But let me tell you, the relief and freedom I feel can never like, it can never be compared to the bills I'm paying.
You rather suffer, but you also have a peace of mind.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you come home, as soon as you step in,
it's just you.
It's just you. Like, there's no like one, oh, you need to do this, or you need to do that. You just like, you're free, right?
Yeah.
So
It's nice.
Yeah.
It's really nice, and it's a beautiful thing, and I love it. I love this little life, but it puts me in a spot where I'm like, what if things get hard and I have to move back home? Because I'm not perfect. I'm human.
Yeah.
If things get to a point where I can no longer afford these bills, I'll be like, I wanna come back home.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, I it's like cold water. Whenever I remember, I'm like, eh, I'm like, whew, I need to work hard. And that keeps me going.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be told, who asked you, who sent you, right?
Yeah.
I want to be someone to be able to say, congratulations, you've passed the adult life test.
I don't think there's a menu on anything. People just be saying, oh, there's a menu that makes you pass. I don't think there's a menu, so like, you're not passing anything.
You're not.
You're going day by day.
One step at a time.
That's what you can do.
Yeah.
At this point.
Our fourth question. How did you overcome, or what are you currently doing to help heal from trauma?
I'm learning to say no.
Me too, like boundaries.
I'm tired of, I feel like sometimes a lot of people like guilt trip me. be like, take on the responsibility, and I'm just like, I'm tired. And I already take on so much already, as it is. So learning to say no and be like, put my foot down and be like, no, I'm actually not doing it. Because I'm not following through. And following through with like my actions and be like, just...
No.
Yeah, no. Because like that's one thing I like, especially when it comes to family. Like I just tend to say yes, yes, yes. And then I don't leave anything for myself. Because like I'm stretched too thin to the point where like I'm exhausted. Like physically and mentally.
That's deep.
Yeah.
I have learned to build boundaries. The first time I built a boundary, I lost people. Like people drew, like they grew further away from me, and then that communication stopped. And let me tell you, there's days where I question, I'm like, did I even make a good call? But then I remember, I did. Because the minute I start second guessing myself, then I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have done this and this and this. But then I'm like, it's my right. Mm-hmm. It's my right to say no or yes.
Yeah.
And I don't owe anyone an explanation. Mm-hmm. And it's just how much do you sacrifice? Because some people, honestly, I'm sorry, even if you're my relative, you're not worthy for me to sacrifice a lot. You're not worthy for me to sacrifice my energy, my time, my efforts, because you will never do the same for me. Because not even only our siblings, our parents, we have relatives who they would want you to be there for them, but they're never there for you. This person will call you on the phone. You'll be like, how are you? I'm good. Okay. You know, it's been long days. I was wondering, can you do this? It always comes with them needing something. There are some people, I see their phone calls, I just lose. In fact, I don't even answer.
I think that's why, like, that's one thing, that's why, like, I didn't want to get into, like, working with the settlements, because seeing people at their lowest, and also, like, people, like, what is this, you need? You're too, like, empathetic and sympathetic to them, to the point where, like, you're giving, and then you're left with nothing. So like I feel like that's why like I walked away from the settlement field too, right? Because of that, like I didn't like the way I felt. When I go home, I'll carry that with me and be like, well, I should have done more, I should have done this. So that's why like with people of Africa, like I tell my mom not to give them my number, because for me, you're gonna get me. So I don't know, I just feel always like obligated. I should help.
Even our relatives who are back home.
Yeah.
It just feels like and there's a day I told one of them. And I said, I cannot carry all the loads on my shoulder. Some of these loads, you also have to work on them by yourself. You can't always be like, my brother's daughter. I know I'm your brother's daughter. I didn't say I'm not your brother's daughter. But at the same time, it's like this.
Hi, Rafikis. We didn't realize that it stopped recording. So unfortunately, this is the end of the video. But thank you for tuning in every Sunday and coming along with us when we talk about hot topics and just our personal life in general. So bye, Rafikis, and see you on Sunday.